It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I help single women transform midlife into your best life and find love again in your next chapter. Today, we have a very special guest, Larry Michael, and he's the Love Shepherd. And today, we're talking about chemistry, a red flag or a green flag. So welcome, Larry. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah, it's fun to be on the line with you.
I know. So, Larry, first of all, before we... What was that?
And I said, welcome to the West Coast.
I know. I'm excited to be on the West Coast in this great weather. You can't beat it. So before we jump into chemistry, let's first talk about what's a love shepherd and how did you become one?
Wow. So we only have a limited amount of time for the show, so I can't tell you the whole story. But it really goes back to my childhood. I have wanted to understand love since I was a little kid. And it wasn't something that I got a lot of expressed to me as a child. Now, my parents showed me love, but I didn't understand that that's what they were doing, right? Because I wasn't hearing it. And I was looking for it. And of course, as a little boy, I was infatuated with girls, and I wanted to, I was looking for that yummy, juicy relationship. And it's fun that we're talking about chemistry, because if I think back to my childhood, and I haven't really thought about this a lot before, but I was always doped up with chemistry when I was a kid. Right. And so, I was looking for chemistry and I was looking for love, and I just set off down that path. I got into psychology and social anthropology and into coaching and consulting and therapy work and working with couples. And, the conversation is, do you love me? Does he love me? Does she love me? And now, many decades later, the conversation I have with people is very, very different about, where love even fits into the equation in relationships, and how you navigate through some of the things that are really physical, brain chemical oriented versus projections versus our hardcore reality, does the person pick up their clothes or stop smoking when you need them to, So we could talk for hours, Suzanne,
but, right.
So I followed this path until about 15 years ago when I was introduced to genetic energetics, which, the Institute of Genetic Energetics is my calling very much. And that provided another dimension of information that has kind of always been around and in effect, but never really communicated well, that changed literally everything for me in terms of how I worked with people, how I understood our emotional interactions and our passions and our infatuations. And so that's, that kind of brings us to the present in its full glory, which is very expansive and exciting.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's jump into this hot topic of chemistry, because I got to tell you, I have my clients talk about this all the time. They'll go out on dates and they'll say to me, Suzanne, he's a great guy, but there's no chemistry. So before we talk about the red and the green flags, right? What is chemistry? Because, whenever I try to ask people, what is chemistry? You kind of get this, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's more than a thing. Chemistry is a physical thing that really involves brain neurotransmitters. So it is oxytocin and testosterone and dopamine and norepinephrine and PEA. And what did I leave out? Serotonin, right? So literally you have six brain chemicals. So it's not something you make up. It's something that your body actually experiences. And when you have that experience, you know, it can feel absolutely amazing. And it's also what is at the core of why we get infatuated with people as well. Why we're infatuated, why we want to hold on to them, or why we think we don't feel anything. And so, you know, that chemistry is amazing, and it's also very freaking dangerous, you know?
So is it
infatuated? And I should have grabbed them earlier. I have a pair of rose-colored glasses I usually put on for this, because that's what you've got. When you're all doped up on all those brain chemicals, you really are wearing rose-colored glasses. And if no one's heard that term before, it really means that the world is rosy while you have them on. And then you take them off and you go, oh, what was I thinking? Right.
Right.
So people go through that. I think our high divorce rate has a lot to do with chemistry, because people get very chemistry doped up and then they make really raunchy decisions. They move across the world for someone that they've never met in person, or they meet someone one time. And I mean, every one of us has a friend that met someone and within 2 weeks they were married, and you're going, my God, I mean, if I had hair, I would have pulled it all out thinking about that situation. And, you know, how many of us actually know one of those, what I call 10-minute marriages that still exist today? And there are some rare cases, and I think that's wonderful, but it's, you know, that's not the way you want to do it. Really isn't. If you want an evolutionary relationship, you want a conscious, very beautiful and kind of up to date with this world type relationship. You know, the
right.
old style of relationships where someone was matched with you and, you know, you went into that match and you learned to love each other kind of thing. Those days are gone for the most part. And so, you know, today we're looking at a very complex society and complex requirements in relationships. So not even love is enough, honestly. If someone says, I love this person, I'm great. That's amazing. It's incredible. You should love that person. And that's not a reason to get married, right? It's not. It's just not the whole, it's not the whole ball game.
Right.
You know, there's people you can love, really, really love and go, but we never should be married to each other, right?
Right. You know? No, exactly. Exactly. So with chemistry, like, you know, let's start off in the very beginning stages. Like when a woman first goes out on a date with a man, and this is what I always get when I was a matchmaker and still to this day in coaching women in midlife, is they'll go out on a first date and they'll say, Suzanne, there was no chemistry. And they're like, you know, he was a great guy, but there was no chemistry. And she's like, this is what always happens. She says, I don't know if I should go out on a second date. There was nothing wrong with him, but there wasn't any chemistry. So what do you say to that?
Okay, so this is, and I'm not prescribing everybody go use this tool that we have, but we have a tool called a personal energetic profile, and we're going to give it to everybody so they can go get them if they want to. We actually can identify who you're going to have chemistry with and who not. And more important, there's, at least from the genetic energetics point of view, there's two kinds of attractions. We call it attractions. You can call it chemistry. Same thing. Same, but different, right? And one is true. And the true person with true attractions, they're really attracted to someone that's very similar to them in many ways. And a person with false attractions is attracted to someone that's not so similar. So when I say similar, for example, there are people that communicate different ways. I'm very structural in how I talk. I use my words very specifically. So when I meet someone that talks like I do, it feels really great. And this can be one of those scenarios where, wow, we had such a great conversation and he understood everything I said. And it seemed like he really, you know, could see me, but I wasn't feeling any chemistry. You know, and you go, wow, you had such a great conversation, but no chemistry. Well, here's the deal. If you have what we call false attractions, you have a chemical attraction to someone that's very different than you. And if you have true attractions, if I meet someone that talks like I do, I'm going to get it's like now those brain chemicals we talked about are going to get all elevated, and it's going to make it even more exciting, right? So there's going to be a 50-50 chance, and this is the important thing, a 50-50 chance that you may meet someone that doesn't just immediately like cause heart palpitations, right? That doesn't make you tingle inside. And you could have a really great conversation. And this is what these women are telling you. I met them, really nice person. I don't know whether I should go out on another date with them or not, because I wasn't just feeling it. And you know, if we go on to dating sites, a real common thing, and I don't know how common it is today, but a couple years ago, the most common thing you would say, mostly women say in their profiles, is that, you know, give me chemistry or forget about it, or I'll know within 10 seconds mm-hmm. whether there's chemistry or not. Well, if someone has false attractions in that first 10 seconds, they may have chemistry with someone that they feel great about, but within weeks they discover, wow, this person is really challenging to talk to. Like I say something to them and I thought it was clear and they don't get it. Or I give them a cue or a clue and they don't get it. Are they not listening? Do they not care? Or the worst scenario of them all, they're having a texting relationship, right? So they go out on a date and it's a great date. And then everything else is by text, which is insane, by the way. So, you know, and yes, all of you that are carrying on relationships by text, I'm telling you, that's insanity.
And it's because... Why is that insanity, though? Let them know why.
Oh, gosh. So here's... There's a statistic that came out of Stanford years ago that talked about what percentage of our communication was words versus tonality versus physical body posture. So 7% of our communication is the words we use. 7%, that's it. So in a text, that means there's a 93% chance that what you're texting someone, they don't get. They don't hear it. 93%. I mean, my gosh, you wouldn't walk out your door and get on the freeway if your odds were that bad to get in an accident. But we text people all the time. So we text assuming that the person on the other end understands us perfectly. They do if you're asking them to tell you what time to meet you at the movie theater, right? Or how many bags of potato chips to pick up. Something specific, right?
Right.
But even there, I can say, hey, I'll be in the movie. I'll meet you in a bit. I'll meet you down there in a bit. I'm on my way. Do you or I know what that means? You know, on your way from where? Oh, I forgot to tell you. I was up in Los Angeles and I'm meeting you in San Diego. It'll be 3 hours, right? Oh, my God. So the bottom line is that if you want to have a quality conversation with someone, have it on the phone or have it in person. Have it so they can hear your voice. Have it so you can immediately respond or be responded to. You know, we send a text out to someone and then they don't hear back from you for hours and hours. And then they go, he's ghosting me. No, he's at work, you know, or he's with friends. It can be so many different things. So bottom line, texting can be fun. It can be playful. You can even do sexting. You can do all kinds of things, but don't base your relationship on it. And definitely don't for a second think that what you're communicating is 100% understood.
That totally makes sense. And now I know what the women in my audience are saying. They're saying, that's great, Larry. I agree with you because I prefer phone calls, but he won't pick up the phone and call me. So what do you say to that? How
wrong
can a woman
guy.
Get what?
Wrong guy.
Well, can she do simple. Something to encourage him to pick up the phone without making him feel like she's like, I need you to call me, right? Like shaking her finger.
You know, first of all, if someone's that needy for a conversation with someone, there's a challenge there in the first place. So, you know, we have, let's pretend you and I are wooing each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I meet you and we have a conversation and you say to me, I would love to get on the phone with you. Okay. Now, if I don't want to get on the phone with you, if I'm always too busy, I'm the wrong guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Bottom line, wrong guy. Okay. We get on a phone call. we have a conversation, and somewhere along the way is the question that it needs to come up is like, what's the best way to, for us to connect, right? I prefer a phone call because I want to make sure that I want to hear your voice, right? I want to hear your voice. I don't need to talk to you a long time. My own partner, she doesn't really like to get on the phone and have long conversations. We've mm-hmm. done it when we were just dating. You know, we did that, but it's not her favorite thing to do. And so, you know, the understanding is there. Let's have a quick conversation and then we'll get together in person. Right? COVID's made that a little challenging for some folks. But all the more reason, you know, to get on a call. And if the guy is constantly not wanting to get on a call with you, then he's just the wrong person. Look, none of us belong in a relationship where our partner doesn't want to communicate in all different ways.
Yeah.
Texting if you need to. Voice if you, you know, you really want to hear and feel them, and in person. And if there's like a cutoff on any part of the way, then there's some other work that that other person needs to do, you know, so that they are dating material. And the reality is that there's some people out there that aren't. You know, maybe you got a really great picture of him and he's got, you know, you've been married and you've got two kids and he's got two kids and he's like, he's all your list is getting fulfilled, but he's not communicating with you in a way that is nurturing. So you feel seen and you feel heard. And when it comes right down to it, let's talk about love, right? Love is not something that someone gives you, right? Love is something that you feel when the person or thing that you're connecting with reminds you of the love you have inside,
right?
So if I reflect back to you, it's because I see you. It's because I hear you. It's because I recognize you. And that reflection back basically has you go inside and the love you have for yourself bubbles up. And that's when we turn around and say, I love that person, right? We just love, right? And the person is creating an environment, an experience with us that allows us to love fully. That's what love really is, right? It's not an action. It's not the fact they open the door for you. It's not any of those things. It is something, it's a life force within you that's ignited and revealed as a reflection off of something you've experienced or a person you're experiencing. And this is really important because people will go, well, I'm not feeling it. I'm not loving it. I'm not in love. I love them. You know, we can go down this long scenario, but we need to sometimes separate love from the actions that people take.
Yeah.
So again, you could love someone, but if their actions don't support you, they don't support the person that you love being, they're the wrong person for you. And you can love them all you want, but that's not the person you're going to want to be in a long-term relationship with or a nurturing or emerging relationship or evolutionary love. And that's what we all deserve to have.
Yeah, I completely agree. So what would you say, though, because here's what I find. I don't know if you find this, too. I'm curious if you do. I find that a lot of times we can get blinded by chemistry. Like, you know, there's so much chemistry and attraction that we think that's the end-all, be-all. Yet, like how you talked about, your basic needs, if he's not meeting your basic needs and rising to the occasion, is that doesn't necessarily mean he's the right man for you. So how can a woman, you know, really decipher beyond chemistry if he's the right man for her?
Goodness. How much time do we have?
Well, I know everyone in my audience is curious to what you have to say to this. So whatever you need to tell us.
Oh, gosh. So let's take just a few seconds longer with chemistry, and then we'll go into that question, because I'd like to kind of encapsulate it. And I'll tell you a couple stories. First, the one story I want to share is a couple that I worked with that had what we called false attractions, right? So they did not feel chemistry for each other. They both worked together and they used to go to like a coffee shop. I think it might have even been Starbucks. They'd go out to coffee every morning before work. loved talking to each other, became very, very close friends. And they were doing this for about a year. And this so I know this because I asked them, how did you guys meet? Mm-hmm. Right? Because people that have false attractions sometimes just never really fall in love because they're looking for that chemistry, right? So here they are. They're going to breakfast every morning before work. They have their coffee. One day, like this is a year into this practice, one day the guy reaches across the table and grabs her hand to say something, like to emphasize something. And in that moment, they went, oh, my God. Right? So there was never really any chemistry. They just felt that they were always the best friends. And they talked about everything, right? The kind of things that you really do want in a relationship, someone where you can be vulnerable and authentic with, and someone who will call you on your shit, right? and you can grow and expand with. And they had all that, but they weren't feeling the physical connection. All of a sudden, for the first time, they're holding hands with each other. And now their bodies are going, ooh, what's this? So the reason why I share that story is that for the men and women that say, I'm not feeling it on the first date, well, if they find out, if they are the kind of person that the chemistry isn't ignited because energetically or genetically, because this is really a genetic thing that causes these neurotransmitters to go upward, right? So if they're the kind of person that's not happening instantly, but they like the person, they need to spend some more time with them to find out if this is really a great match. Because ultimately, if you're not feeling chemistry at the beginning, but you have an incredible relationship and you really have someone that sees you, hears you, gets excited by you, is inspired by you, you know, key ingredients in a relationship, inspiration, right? So you have these things happening, I guarantee your body will start to produce those chemicals. They're not instantaneous like everybody often wants, right? But they will produce and they'll be plenty strong, guaranteed. We've seen this happen time and time again. So now that's the side when someone's not feeling it at the beginning. Then the other side, and this is a personal story. So my own partner, before we started living with each other, we lived about, I don't know, 35 minutes apart. And I remember this one time, and we both, there's a lot of chemistry for us, right? And we have the genetic markers for that chemistry, and it's very cool. So here I am, I'm at home. It's 11 o'clock in the evening. I'm like in bed. I got my dog cuddled up next to me. I'm comfortable, right? And my partner calls me up and says, do you want to come over? And she's not asking me to come over because she wants sex. She just wants to cuddle. Right. And here's the crazy thing. We're already scheduled to see each other at 7 o'clock the next morning because we're going on an event. And so I'm going, well, I mean, I'm in bed. I'm warm. I'm with my dog. I'm comfortable. She says, oh, come over. Next thing I know, it's like I don't even remember how I got out of bed and into my car. But 15 minutes I'm driving and I'm going, what am I doing? I mean, I'm just going over there to sleep in her bed it's not even the most comfortable bed to me. And I was going to see her at 7 in the morning and I'm going, oh my God, I'm just totally drugged up on chemicals. And I knew it. I was aware of it and I kept driving anyhow. Right? And I went over there, but that's kind of, so the chemistry is this piece of infatuation that has us sometimes making decisions that they could be crazy making. I was going to see her in 7 hours, right? My dog is at home alone. But so that chemistry is there and it's wonderful and it's lovely. But I also have to be careful when I'm all chemically drugged up because she could have said to me, hey, you know what? I need groceries and can you stop here and stop this? Can you pick up for a few things for me? And then I might have found myself, wow, why am I doing all this shopping and doing all this kind of stuff when I don't normally do it at this hour, right? Happy to be of service, but why now? And then I end up there going, here's your stuff. But there's this little piece inside me going, you know, well, gosh, I feel like I'm just kind of working for this relationship kind of thing. And then you have these little resentments and things that can come up when you get away from the chemical-induced high. So we have to be careful and be, and maybe the word is really, we just need to be aware and discerning of when that chemical hit's happening or when it's not happening. And what does it mean? And like the one thing I'll say about chemistry, we called it red light, green light. Well, the red light is, it's caution. If chemistry is really high, take a second, step back, step away, and look at the scenario and go, is this really what I want? Is he or she really who I want? Is this the person that helps me be the person I really love to be? And if the answer is yes, then, you know, green light, jump back in. But the key here is to take time to notice, right? Appreciate the chemistry when it's there. Be just wary of the chemistry when it's really strong and the relationship is not really, I mean, you kind of know. Most people, like if you say, all right, like close your eyes and feel into this. And is this really the exact person for you? And if they just take even a half a second longer to answer that question than the immediate absolutely, then there's your answer.
Right. Right.
They don't know yet. And it doesn't mean they're the wrong person. They just don't know yet. And so don't let chemistry guide you into that decision. Our divorce rate is high because chemistry guides people into making decisions about long-term commitments. And hence, 2 years into it, or 3 years into it, they go, what am I doing here? You know, and there's studies that say chemistry dissipates after 2 years. That's not true. That's inaccurate science. And you know, I could go down a long road but to say why, but really what's happening is at about the two-year mark, statistically, if the relationship is problematic, there is only one thing that will really knock those neurotransmitters off their block and cause them to plummet, and that's pain, right? So there's another set of neurotransmitters related to pain that will cause dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin, norepinephrine, PEA, all of those to plummet, right? And it could be physical pain or it could be emotional pain, but it's pain, right? And it's the emotional pain kind that is sneaky little buggers, right? It comes in like, I'm not comfortable. I'm not happy. I don't feel like I get to be really me. I'm not excited about this relationship. I don't seem to be growing. I'm not learning anything. You know, we can go down that long list, right? And that turns into, you know, an uneasiness, a dis-ease, and that pain causes the chemistry to wear off. And so statistically, that takes a couple years. For some people, it only takes a couple weeks.
Right, right.
Or a couple dates. But if you're really committed to the person, it could take a couple years where you finally go, enough, right? The reality then is that you can split off from that person. And we've done studies about this where we've looked at couples who were married like for 5 or 10 years, and they have horrible divorces, right? Ones where they just don't like their partner. Hate is kind of the word that comes up. And they run into that partner a year or 2 years later, just in the physical space. Because understand, chemistry is genetic and it's energetically involved. So they get into that energetic envelope, and all of a sudden the chemistry comes back and they go, why do I want this person? I can't stand the creep. And the chemistry comes back. So the further you get away from the challenges of the relationship, sometimes the chemistry will return. And one of the reasons why some people will go back into relationships that they should never go back into.
Right, right. So this is interesting. This is fascinating to me. So you know who Dr. John Gray is, right?
Of course. I like John. He's,
okay. Yeah. So I've interviewed him, and I've done two different interviews, and both times he has talked about how He said that that's where women make the mistake. They look for the chemistry and attraction on that first date. He said, you're better off with the partner that you have no chemistry and attraction on the first date. And he said, that's what you should be looking for. Do you agree or disagree?
Okay, I'm a proponent of chemistry. I love chemistry.
Right.
So I also know I can trust my chemistry. I have what's called true attractions. Mm-hmm. So I partly agree with them. I don't think I would not put chemistry as my number one indicator. Okay. So even for me, where I know I can follow my chemistry when it's there, I know it's leading me to someone that's a good, that's usually a pretty good match, at least genetically, that there's way more that we want, right? There's way, way, way more than we need. And so, you know, if chemistry is there, great. If you know you can follow it. If chemistry is there and you know you can't follow it, you have what we call false attractions, then, you know, then you got to look a little bit closer. You got to get away from the chemistry to really discover who the person is.
Right, right.
And by the way, and I'm not saying, and this is important because the people that will go and get our profiles will go, our profiling system will go, wait, I'm very different than this other person. Does that mean I shouldn't be in a relationship with them? And the answer to that is no, your differences are not an indication that you should not be in a relationship. There's a lot more to relationships than just your genetic energetics. There's who someone is. Our system tells you what you are, but there's who someone is, what they believe in, what they're passionate about, what their background is like, where do they want to be in life? Do they want children? Where do they want to live? I mean, we can go down a long list. I give my clients almost a 500 question list for them to go through before they really make a firm decision about a long-term commitment or a marriage, because these are all things they should want to know about their partner. Right? They want to find out ahead of time, not later. We have plenty of time to learn from our partners, but there are certain things that we want to know up front. You know, like an obvious one, if you want children, you want to ask that person if they also want kids, right? And if they kind of are not certain about it, then you want to understand what's behind that uncertainty. And it's that can be an exciting and courageous way to learn more about your partner. But you may find out that, no, you know, I want to have kids right away. I'm looking for someone that is, you know, is ready for a family. And the other person is not ready at this time and might not ever be, right?
Right.
So is that good to find out in advance? Yeah, no one would argue with us about that one, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of other things as well.
What about the one that, like if a woman asks a man, you know, what are you looking for as far as the future? Like, do you want a long-term committed relationship? Do you want a partnership or do you want to get married again? And what if a man is like, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. And she knows that she wants either to get married again or she wants a long-term partnership.
So she could be very certain and the partner not. And it's a, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's this is, if we reverse the gender role, it could be he's very certain and she's not. The uncertainty can be a couple things. One of the things it could be is they just don't know. They haven't experienced a person where they just felt into it and went, oh my God, I don't want to be with anybody else. And then all of a sudden their uncertainty becomes a hell yes, right? So, and sometimes that question when asked, the person receiving the question is thinking, are you asking me, do I feel that way about you? Versus do I feel that way in general? A lot of men, this is just my experience. I'm not saying that this is necessarily a male attribute, but my experience is a lot of men, when they're asked that question, immediately look at the person in front of them and think, do I want to be married to this person? They don't know yet. They don't know yet. So the answer is, I'm not sure. And that's okay. I'm not sure is okay. I don't want to get married when a marriage certificate is important to you. that's more clear, right? And there are people out there, by the way, that just don't believe in the institution of marriage anymore. Yeah. They're totally, and so, you know, when you ask that question, how about a long-term committed relationship, right? How about a domestic partnership? You know, it is, you know, would you go that route? Do you want to have kids? Do you want to get a dog together? Do we want to own a home? Do we want to build a business? There's lots of other ways to ask that question. But the word marriage can be a stumbling block for both men and women. I think I know as many women now, Suzanne, that don't want to be married as I know men.
Yeah. And it's true. It depends on where someone's at. Because you're right. I have had female clients that have been married maybe once or maybe twice. And at this point in their life, you know, as they've grown older, they're like, you know what? I don't really want to get married again, but I want a partner.
Mm-hmm. And they want to, and that what they have is much higher standards for the kind of partner they want. I mean, the reality is every time we have a relationship, and we come out of relationship, we should be leveling up. You know, I had someone say this to me years ago, and it really hurt when they said it because it just sounded so cold. But they, you know, I was having challenge in a relationship, and they said, maybe it's time for an upgrade. And I went, whoa, that seemed really kind of cold and calculated and mean. But the reality is they were accurate. It was time for an upgrade. The person that I was dating had a lot of things that were very valuable, but didn't have everything I really wanted and needed. Our values were not totally aligned. You know, and you know, gosh, you do a lot of coaching. How many people do you know that have got together with their partners and done a values elicitation where they've actually looked at what their core values are, their ends values, to see how they match?
Not a lot.
Right?
I would say some do. So, and the ones that do are very self-aware. They've done a lot of the inner work, so they know what's important, and they won't, that they're not going to settle for someone who doesn't have those core values.
Right, right. Or, and here's the thing. I'm not necessarily saying that two people have to have exactly the same values, but they need to be able to talk to those values and decide whether their relationship will work with those values, right?
Yeah.
So you may be the kind of person that wants to travel around the world. It's one of your core values is exploration, right? You love to explore. And explore for you is not like just see who's in line at the grocery store, but it's, you know, explore different cultures and different environments. And so travel is a big one, right? Travel is not an ends value. It's means to a value. It means to an end. And the end may be exploration, right? And for me, I may be a kind of person that, you know, I like to explore, but it's in books and it's, you know, in conversations and it can be phone calls and be kind of those things and you know, out and hiking in, you know, some strange country someplace is not as exciting to me. So does that mean we can't work as a partnership? Maybe, maybe not. But the maybe yes is that there might be enough other things that we love to do together that it's well worth it, that we can say, hey, honey, you know, you've got your three big trips you like to take a year and one, you know, you'd like to take a month and go to India or take a month in Bali or something like that. And hope I don't have FOMO, right? and you know, and I may say, you know what? And I want to do, you know, a 4-week long kind of study group of some sort. And my partner goes, no, that's not what I'm interested in. But we honor each other's, you know, most important values and everything else works.
Yeah. Right?
So it's just being aware of those things, Suzanne. That's it. It's just that if you're going to go into a long-term relationship, do it with your eyes open.
Yes.
Not your eyes shut going, how does this feel? Oh, my God. Oh, this is so good. I just want to be with them. Nah, come on. You know, that you can have that too if you really want it. But make sure you got it both.
You know, right when you did that was really funny because I'm a very visual person, and when you were doing that, I was like, you know, it's while the chemistry and attraction feels so good, right? And we're like addicted to it, and it's like a drug, is we need to get real and honest with ourselves because that's not what's going to sustain a relationship or partnership or marriage, right?
That's correct. That's,
So
I
this
mean,
is.
what's going to sustain a partnership and a marriage are a couple things. One, are you with someone that day after day reminds you of how loving a person you are? That's when you can turn around and you say to your partner, "I love you." What you're saying basically is that you remind me how much I can love. Right? That's really what you're saying when you say, "I love you." That's a great ingredient, and I think it's important. I think it's important in a long-term relationship or a long-term marriage, unless it's a marriage of convenience or, you know, all those other kind of marriages for a variety of other purposes and reason. I'm not saying those are wrong, but if we're talking about, you know, an intimate, romantic, evolving, courageous, authentic relationship and long-term commitment, then, you know, having love is one of those ingredients that where you feel like you can express who you are, that's important. The other one is, what does this relationship really look like, right? Is this one where, you know, we're both retired and how do we manage our money together? Is this one where we're raising kids and we want our own kids, but we also are bringing kids into the relationship, which means there's another mother or another father. And so there's complexities, right? And how do we handle those complexities? Am I still working on discovering what my occupation is or my Dharma path or whatever it is that, you know, we want to discover? Or am I on my third or fourth business, right? It's like, and do I have a partner that supports me in going through all that? There's, you know, there's again, like I have a list of 500 questions. Why? Because there's a lot of things to discover. And you don't have to ask all 500, but I'll guarantee you there's a good 100 of them there that are really fun to find out about your partner.
I'm glad you said that because, you know, it's funny. Sometimes when people think of like 100 or 500 questions, they're like, oh God, that's a lot of work. But when you said fun, it was like, okay, now we all want to do that, right?
Yeah, I
But
mean,
it's important to do.
this is really important. If you're not excited, like super freaking excited to learn more about your partner, you are with the wrong person, right? You are
Good
with the wrong
point.
person, and they shouldn't be with you either, right? And there are people, I can tell you, there are people that go, "I know who I am. And I know how I'm doing life, and I know how I want to live it, and that's the way it is." I can tell you right now, if you're looking for a man to be interested in you, you have cut down the number of people that are really available by about 95%.
Tell them why.
Well, because there's nothing for the person to learn from you. There's no growth. There's no growth in that. You know, you and I both have coached a lot of women that are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, right? And a real common thing that women will say is that men always want a younger woman,
I know. It drives
right?
me crazy.
Yeah, they'll say that. And women will say they want a younger man. What is it they really want? They don't necessarily want a younger body. They want someone who's young at heart. That's what they want. They want someone that's still growing and learning and discovering and exploring and finding out who they are, even when they think they know who they are. I'm not interested in a person that is so set in their belief about who they are that there's nothing that will ever change it. And in my mind, someone that's that set doesn't even belong anywhere around here. They're not interested in the world. They're not interested in culture. They're not interested in growth. Get off the planet, right? I mean, that sounds severe, but in reality, I want people who are interested in growing and going through that. They demonstrate to me that in a challenging time, and boy, if we want a challenging time, we just pick 2020, right? That in a challenging time, they still are looking for ways to become a better person. to evolve into a better understanding about how to communicate with themselves, with each other, with people they don't know, in political environments, whatever it is, they're interested in growth.
Yeah.
They have a child's mind. You know, to me, that's the most attractive thing that I could find, is someone that is still kind of like a kid in a sandbox, but like, I'm still in a sandbox. My sandbox, though, is a lot bigger than it was when I was a little kid, right?
Yeah.
And I'll still do some stupid, silly shit, but I learn from it, and I grow from it, and I can get called on it, and I don't have to tuck my tail when I do it. I go, oh, okay, there was a learning experience. To me, that's living.
Yes.
Living. And so if you're all carved into, you know, casted strongly, and there's no way you can ever change, you're not living.
It's
you're just
true.
Going machinations of life. And no one's interested in that, honestly. There's nothing exciting about that.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm like, age doesn't matter. We should all keep growing, learning, experiencing new things. And it drives me crazy when people are set in their ways. And because there's so much out there that we get to explore and learn about ourselves, even during this challenging time. In fact, you know, when you and I first got on this call, is you asked me how I was doing. And I was like, I'm great. I'm embracing this time. I'm making the best of it. I'm doing things that I haven't done in years. And like I even started meditation. I started off 3 times a day and I did that straight for 60 days. And now I'm down to 2 times a day, but I'm consistent. And I will say that it's made a huge difference in my life. But if that's you, ladies, where you're growing, you want to find somebody, like Larry said, that is going to grow with you and isn't set in their ways and isn't open to new and different things, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's really attractive to find a man or a woman that has already created something for themselves, that mm-hmm. has some wisdom in the, you know, that they've developed, that they've accumulated, that has had enough experiences where they, you know, they really do know what they value and treasure and they don't. Those are all really cool things, and it's attractive, no question about it. Yeah, I mean, it's as attractive as seeing someone who takes care of their body, right? Who's fit, who, you know, some women don't wear makeup. Some do. Some put on way too much makeup and it's kind of like they're hiding some things. And some women are just artists at it, right? And all those things are just things they love and know to do. And it's attractive to see people that have that relationship with themselves and the world around them. It's attractive. There's no question about it. And this is the piece that's critical, and they're willing to change. When I work with couples, one of the terms that I coined a number of years ago, it's called courageous intimacy. And it's kind of a step up from radical honesty, if you will. And if you've, you know, ever read the book Radical Honesty, if you haven't, go get it and read it. It's so super valuable. The key here is that in our relationships, we want intimacy. We want true intimacy. And intimacy isn't a handshake. There's different levels of intimacy. Psychologists will tell you there's 5 or 6 or 7 different levels, and they'll detail them out. But at the highest level of intimacy, that's your willingness to be seen fully. That's your willingness to be really vulnerable. And it's your willingness to have everything that you believe in challenged without you getting hurt or upset about it. And so courageous intimacy is taking that high level of intimacy and being courageous about it in a way that you're excited.
Yeah.
You know, when we are filled full of courage, we have this desire to go out there and discover, right? And so if the thing that scares the shit out of you, if you can also be courageous about jumping in, you're going to find out things that make you just that much more superb as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
that's evolutionary growth in a relationship. And from that, there's where bliss and co-creation and intimacy really shine. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to be co-creative, if you want a blissful relationship, if you want to be inspired, then you have to be willing to be fully seen. You need to be courageous and you need to be vulnerable, right? And also aware, right? So there's these, and none of these are hard to do. It's actually more work to not do them.
Right, because you're holding up all these walls, right? I think, and you're on guard all the time.
I think people miss that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, in genetic energetics, there is a what we call a modifier that's called a protector. They're a very psychic person. Mm-hmm. They just have a knowing about things. It's not intuition. It's just they know things. And they're naturally that way. But all of us have that psychic ability just to know. Well, what gets in the way of it is all the stuff that we got going on, all the crazy making things. We wake up in the morning, we're in the most loving place we ever, ever could be because we choose another day. We choose life, mm-hmm. right? And then life comes in. Got to make food for the kids. We got to feed the dog. I got to wash the dishes. I got to put them away. I got to go to work. I got to, oh no, my car's got a flat tire. I mean, it's got all this stuff. That gets in the way of us remembering how much love there is in us. Right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying that we need to make all that stuff go away. That's life. We live in a very complex time. There is no shortage of things to interrupt our focus. You know, you talk about meditating 3 times a day. Wow. That's amazing. I don't know if I could do it because I'm easily distracted. Right. So when I go into a place to try and meditate or even work out, I have to almost create constraints for myself so I can do it. And it's because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
So all this requires is us to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And at any moment in time, drop into the fact that we chose life when we got up this morning and know that that's the most loving thing that we've ever done. And if you ever thought you weren't capable of love, you're totally freaking wrong. You're breathing, right? So that's love. It's there. And find people that can reflect it back to you. That's blissful.
I completely agree with that.
And the chemistry piece, if you get that as an added ingredient, it's like, yeah, you know? And if you don't get it, know that if the relationship has true potential, you will get it. Absolutely. If you don't, give me a call. I'll tell you real quickly what you need to get out of the way so you can have it. You know, but you don't need to call me. You can call Suzanne. She'll tell you just as well as I would.
Oh, well, I love that. Well, this has been amazing, Larry. So I know you have a free gift for the ladies, and it's your best gift. So can you tell them? I know it does really well. So tell them about it.
So it's called a personal energetic profile. And what it's going to tell you about is the energetic frequencies you vibrate at. And it's going to define some character traits and some lifestyle traits. There's 4 lifestyle traits in our system. One's how you communicate. Another's how you process information. Another one is how you handle money. Another one is how you sexually engage, which is a huge eye-opener because 95% of relationships that are not matched in this area don't succeed unless they know about this difference and how to accommodate for it. So, you know, that's like the texting problem, right?
Right.
93% chance of being wrong when you're communicating. So anyhow, I digress. There are these lifestyle traits. Then we're going to also tell you about attractions, who you have chemistry with, and when it'll show up. And then there are some personality characteristics. And all these are free. That's just our gift to you in this personal energetic profile. It takes you about, 15, 20 seconds to do it? Because I'm only asking you for 2 pieces of information. Now, this is going to throw you off a little bit. That's okay. I want to. The 2 pieces of information are your birth date, your real birth date. Don't lie. It's still the truth. You're not telling it, showing it to anybody else in the world. So, and you should be proud of your age anyhow, no matter what age it is. But your birth date, month and year, place, time you were born, not important. It's not astrology. Okay. And the other thing I'm going to ask you for is the birth date of your opposite gender biological parent. So for a woman, that's your biological father. For a man, it's the biological mother. If you don't have that piece of information, run the profile anyhow. Okay. But that's the piece that's going to come back to the, you know, the name of the show, which is chemistry. So we need to know that biological parent's birth date to give you the, what we call attractions part of the report. Everything else that you're going to get in the report is completely there, and it's worth it with or without it. So that's it. That's our gift. And if you have any questions, email us, email LarryM@thefouranswers.com. You know, check us out and we'll support you however we can, because we want you to have as much love and bliss and excitement in your life as you possibly can get, and plenty of chemistry too.
Can we buy that there?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So ladies, if you would like to get Larry's free gift, if you're watching the video, you can just click on the link right below the video. If you're listening to the podcast, please go to yournextamazingstory.com, look for Larry's interview, and the link will be on the show page. So thanks everybody for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. My show is available both in video and podcast format, which can be found at yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation, get access to show notes, and get more amazing content.